The programme was produced by Simon Elms, and you can catch up with all of this week's series of essays on the BBC Radio 3 website. At the same time on Monday night, we begin a new week of the programme, Michael Goldfarb's memories of growing up in America in the 1950s and 60s. That's Monday night at 10:45. This Friday night on BBC Radio 3, it's 11 o'clock, time for World on 3 with Lopa Kotari, which this week comes live from Glastonbury.
Songhai Blues of Mali kicking things off for us tonight in this special live edition of World on 3 from the Glastonbury Festival. We have music from Ghanaian singer and band leader Pat Thomas, New Orleans Hot 8 Brass Band, that's coming up in a few moments. We also have Canadian singer-songwriter Martha Wainwright, and recorded backstage in the BBC Music Teepee, a session from British folk trio The Young Uns. And joining me tonight is Quinton Scott, record collector and founder of Strut Records, who helped relaunch the career of Pat Thomas. He'll be filling us in on the Pat Thomas story later on. And he has a few gems up his sleeve from Ghana's golden age to play for us. But first, as promised, our friends from the Crescent City, that hotbed of traditional brass band street music. The new album is on the spot, and here they are performing live on the West Holt stage at Glastonbury earlier today. This is the Hot 8 Brass Band.
Right here, right now.
Gumbolicious, the Hot 8 Brass Band and Keep It Funky, bringing the heat and vibrancy of New Orleans to the pastures of Somerset. They were playing on the West Hull stage here at Glastonbury earlier on today. From the get-go, they had the audience in the palm of their hands, primed and ready to join in the ruckus. And a bit of a heads up for you, here at BBC, we've got great coverage of the festival for you. You can watch over 100 performances live online all this weekend. Just go to bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury. Now coming up, music from Ghanaian high life legend Pat Thomas. But first, we have a visit to the BBC Music Teepee, a hive of activity backstage here in the BBC compound at Glastonbury. And earlier on this evening, we recorded a couple of songs with British folk group The Young'uns. They're a vocal trio from Stockton, County Durham. We featured them a couple of times here on World on Three. And they specialise in amazing a cappella harmonies. They played the acoustic stage this afternoon, and I'll be chatting with them later on tonight. But here they are now with their first song, The Young'uns and Garfour's Bus, a tale about Garfour Hussein, a real humanitarian from Teesside.
Well, the mist was lifting from Rosebery Topping, and the moors were cold and green. And the driver swore there'd be no stopping as he made for the A19. And in the borough, lads and lasses were sleeping safe and still. When Kafir Hussein hit the road with a million mouths to fill, it's beans and rice and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. He couldn't bear the lads and the lasses' faces on the TV screens as they drowned and froze in hateful places with nothing but their dreams. So he bought a bus and he filled it up with beans and rice and tea. And on a winter's morn he headed south and crossed over the sea. His beans and rice and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. Now in Dunkirk we remember yet the soldiers on the sand. 800 ships we'll not forget that came to lend a hand. But here comes one more vessel now across the angry sea, to serve 3,000 meals a day and 10,000 cups of tea. It's beans and rice and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. Well, some have stared into his face and wondered if he's mad, but he knows he'd be in their place if it weren't for the chance he had. And the lads and lasses' hopeful faces are what drives him on. So he's to Gaffer and his bus and a better world to come. His beans and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. Well, the mist was lifting from Rosebery Topping, and the moors were cold and green. And the driver swore there'd be no stopping as he made for the A19. And in the borough, lads and lasses were sleeping safe and still. When Kafir Hussein hit the road with a million mouths to fill, it's beans and rice and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. It's beans and rice and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all.
Oh, brilliant stuff there, recorded just a few hours ago in the BBC Music Teepee backstage here at Glastonbury. That was indeed The Young'uns, Sean Cooney, David Eagle and Michael Hughes. We've got another song from them later on in the programme. But now on World on 3, we turn to Ghana's Pat Thomas, who performed on the West Holt stage earlier on today. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Quinton Scott, the founder and director of Strut Records. They've been responsible for discovering, or I guess rediscovering, and shining a light on many of the unsung heroes from the history of dance music right across the African continent. First, though, let's have a taste of the Pat Thomas sound. Circa 1967, the golden age of high life. This is Aikolo, Pat Thomas and the Big Seven.
Yeah.
Oh, Pat Thomas and the Big Seven from Coming Home, original Ghanaian High Life and Afrobeat classics, 1967 to 1981 on Strut Records. And I have with me here in the outside broadcast unit, the truck, mobile truck here, Strut's founder, Quinton Scott, at Glastonbury for World on 3. Quinton, welcome.
Thank you, Lopper. Good to see you.
Good to see you. God, that sound, to me, it just encapsulates the summer. You know, it's fantastic. Quinton, how did you come across Pat Thomas? I mean, this was a name that was, I mean, really was kind of lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think from my point of view, I think everything had sort of started in the sort of the early 2000s. I think there was a sudden interest with dance music and club DJs in African music, really through Fela Kuti, I would imagine, initially in Nigeria, and that was my route in. But then you started to discover more and more music, I think looking to Ghana and hearing Ebo Taylor records and Pat Thomas records. I mean, Pat was very, very prolific, and appeared on a lot of records in the 70s. You know, he was had these bands, Marijata, Sweet Beans, and that the Big Seven, you know, was just a sort of a studio band that his label put together. I asked him about it, and he didn't even remember them.
Not so Big Seven.
No, I sort of, that's it. I think they just did that one record, and it was it. And then they sort of moved on, and that was the way. He was very much, you know, guesting on a lot of different things, and you know, he was such a great voice that a lot of people used him on their records.
So from coming across that first kind of that old album of his, I mean, how did the first album that you brought out on Strut come into being? I mean, that was Pat Thomas and Kwashibu Area Band that you released, what, just a couple of years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, that really was through, I mean, there was a sort of continuum of working with a guy called Ben Abarbanel Wolf, who was the MD for Ebo Taylor's band. So we'd started working with him on that project. And then Kwame Yeboah became involved. Kwame's an incredible multi-talented, multi-instrumental MD as well. He's an MD for Craig David's band, who are also here at Glastonbury, and also Cat Stevens. So he MDs their bands, and he's Ghanaian. He's based in Accra, and he was very, very keen to do an original High Life project. He was passionate about the music and really wanted to do something that was drawing on the roots but bringing it into something a little bit more contemporary.
Well, we'll talk more about Pat and his band later, because of course that was more, you know, the newer musicians and newer collaborations than in the past. But Quinton, we'll be coming back to you later on tonight. We've asked Quinton to pull out a few rarities from his Ghanaian High Life collection, and he's going to share them with us later on the programme. But now let's hear a song from Pat Thomas that we recorded earlier on today on the West Holt stage here at Glastonbury for World on 3. This was Cool Chill Out Afrobeat in the haze and sunshine of Somerset. Soft and melodious Afrobeat from Pat Thomas, recorded earlier on the West Holt stage here at Glastonbury for World on 3. That was indeed Pat Thomas and Kwashibu Area Band, and a song called Mber Papa. More from Pat and the band in about 45 minutes' time. Now, next week on BBC Radio 3, it's Canada 150 week. We're marking the 150th anniversary of Canada's birth as a country, with five late-night programmes recorded across Canada from the Rocky Mountains to the eastern seaboard. And they're reflecting the range and diversity of Canadian music, including contemporary classical, jazz, the music of the Indigenous peoples, Anglophone and Francophone folk music, and indie music, all presented by Marianne Kennedy and Hannah French. The indie scene is covered in next Thursday's programme, when there'll be recorded sets from the CBC Music Festival, that's Canadian Broadcasting Corporation Music Festival, and a special session with one of Canada's finest singer-songwriters, Martha Wainwright, recorded in Montreal. So as a kind of upbeat to next week, we're going to hear from Martha right now. She was performing on the acoustic stage here at Glastonbury earlier on today. The new album is called Goodnight City. I played a track from it just a few weeks ago on the programme. And it's very different to her previous records. The songwriting more collaborative, with the involvement of various family members like Rufus Wainwright and her aunt, Anne McGarrigle. And to me, I was saying to Martha that it feels like this album was a turning point.
Yeah, I think I think that was the idea. You know, I turned 40 last year, and there's a lot of big changes, you know, becoming a a mom of two, and also my personal life has recently changed, and that I'm in the process of no longer being married, which has been kind of intense. And I think that, you know, it's kind of obvious when you listen to some of these songs. And it's sort of a farewell to the past and to youth and an entry into a time, hopefully, of reason. We'll see. Although we are at Glastonbury, so I can't make any guarantees of that.
It sounds as though there's a touch of melancholy in your voice, Martha.
Now,
yeah.
This moment. Well, you know, it's a hard time right now. I know it'll get better, you know, but I think as the big things in life happen, you know, you get punched down, but you just keep going. And hopefully, in my case, maybe I'll get some songs out of it. You know, just get up off the ground and up for the people who need you and keep going. And that's just sort of where I'm at. But it's not terrible. It's actually kind of neat, too.
I've read somewhere that you're also writing your own memoir at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a different kind of challenge, writing a book versus writing songs?
It's been very hard, you know, because in the songwriting, I definitely allow myself, although the songs are very autobiographical by music standards, by songwriting standards, you know, you are given a little bit more freedom to be, you know, poetic, let's say, and sometimes I, you know, there's a character or something a little bit different, but I, you know, with the memoir really forces you to be honest. You know, as I put everything down, you know, with the knowledge that I would have to take most of it out. Yeah,
yeah,
we can't say that. No, no, don't want to get sued there. No, but it was kind of neat to do it, you know, although hard, and it has changed, you know, because over the process of writing this memoir, a lot has changed, and so I've had to go back in and change things, and that's interesting.
Has it changed the way in which you think of yourself, or in a sense your knowledge of who you are?
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that's, you know, so, you know, when you look back at your youth and the, you know, some of the mistakes that I made are so steeped in insecurity and second guessing myself and being kind of, I don't want to say wrong, because there was nothing wrong with it really, but just trying to learn, I guess, from those decisions. And
you brought your guitar in with you into the mobile studio here. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song that I never play, but I felt like playing it, maybe because I'm a little jet-lagged or we're at Glastonbury, and I'm, you know, inspired by all these amazing performers and young people with their attitudes, and I kind of like attitudes. So this is an attitudinal song of mine called So Down. Stars are starting to shine. Went on the platform, I didn't recognize, and I'm wondering if I should have made this trip uptown. I got a long way down. Went to the ocean and I met a man. Took his hand because I was falling in love as though it were quicksand. We went a long way down, and this memory is a fantasy of what I was as a child. It's getting late and I'm losing my faith. I can only stay a while. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause you're
doctor and he gave me the drugs. He gave me the drugs that would make me fly. And I took off, but my wings were so on fire. Went a long way down. I'm starting to die, and I thought I forgot to live. I was too caught up in what you couldn't give. I forgot to take what it was that's mine.
Oh, amazing. Recorded here in our mobile studio at Glastonbury earlier today. That was one of Canada's most famous daughters and one of my favourite singers, Martha Wainwright, candid as ever, and a song there called So Down. As I mentioned earlier, you can hear more from her in a special session recorded at her home in Montreal next Thursday at 11 p.m. as part of our Canada 150 series here on BBC Radio 3. The season starts tomorrow and runs through until Friday. And apart from the five late-night programmes, there's a special early music show from Montreal, a Sunday feature on Canadian music icon Glenn Gould, and Canadian music and artists featured in Breakfast, Essential Classics and In Tune. It all starts with Breakfast tomorrow morning. Full details, of course, on the Radio 3 website. This is World on 3 with me, Lapa Katari, coming to you live from the Glastonbury Festival 2017. You can watch over 100 performances live online this weekend at bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury. We've got more from Pat Thomas and Hot 8 Brass Band to come, taking us up to 1 o'clock in the morning. But first, a band who'll be gracing the Pyramid Stage on Sunday morning. It's Senegalese Afro-Cuban collective Orchestra Baobab. I've been listening to their new album non-stop since I got it. It's called Tribute to Ndioga Dieng. Dieng was one of the original members of the group who passed away sadly last year. This is probably my favourite track on the album. It's called Say. I am me.
ma pompe. Dans la cage, je chasse mon nena tous les ans. Je suis mais va trouver la raison. Maïla, il veut pipousser dans la terre, nana, la poison. La rivière, si ouvre la pêche, la malheur, là aussi, la pluie camaron. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Passe Maloya la pointe, la tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Passe Maloya la pointe, la tisane pour Kuyali. Et on qui connaît que les trembles le matin, la lumière se sent qui flamboyant. Il est que les connaît, les rossis dans la main, il raconte à ou auparavant. Mauvais monde, qui connaît rien que la tisane, par exemple, quartier d'Aran. Heureusement, on fait nous bonheur si la terre Maloya elle est toujours à l'heure. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Passe Maloya la pointe, la tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Passe Maloya la pointe, la tisane pour Kuyali. L'arrivée Gramoula, tisane la pas bon. Dans la case, la chasse nous n'est pas tous les ans. Je dis, mais va trouver la raison. Maïla, il veut pipousser dans la terre, nana la poison. La rivière, si ouvre la pêche, la malheur, là aussi, la pluie de camaron. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Passe Maloya la pointe, la tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Danse Maloya la puella, tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Danse Maloya la puella, tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Danse Maloya la puella, tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Danse Maloya la puella, tisane pour Kuyali. Danse Maloya pour mettre l'ordre là-dedans juste minuit. Passe Maloya la pointe, la tisane pour Kuyali.
Well, after Orchestra Baobab, we had a track there from a recent release on Strut Records, a compilation called Ote Maloya, The Birth of Electric Maloya on Reunion Island, 1975 to 1986. And frankly, I just had to play that so that I can find out more from my studio guest tonight, founder of Strut, Quinton Scott. Quinton, am I putting you a little bit on the spot here and asking you to tell us a little about the person on that track, Michu?
Yeah, Michu. So that was interesting. I mean, she was 17 when she recorded that track, and she was a daughter of a songwriter who was very prolific in La Reunion at the time. And she was kind of thrust into the spotlight and had a massive hit on the island with that track. And I think the band behind it was called Chameleon, who were one of the most, the sort of foremost band for introducing jazz and rock and psychedelia into Maloya at that time. And it's a great little tale as well. It's about a mythical figure called Sitaran, who was a sorcerer, and he was destroying the crops and poisoning the earth, and all the fish were dying.
Happy
That's
little
it. So Michu is invoking the Maloya ritual, the spirit, if you like, to restore order there.
And this collection, I mean, it's on the Birth of Electric Maloya over that 10-year period, 75 to 86. It's a real melting pot musically, isn't it? Traditional Malagasy music with East African and the kind of Indian styles alongside Western influences. I mean, it seems to me a window what La Réunion was looking out onto musically. you know, everything that was coming its way.
Yeah, and I think it was there's a real continuum over the years as well. I mean, it originated, you know, way back in the slavery days and sort of developed in many different ways and many different political ways as well. It was it was frowned upon by the colonials originally. Then it became more accepted later as there was more of a sort of move to accept local, you know, culture and music, and now it is the music of the island. But it's a fascinating story.
So that's essentially what Maloya is. It's a kind of mashup of everything that was going on at the time, sort of.
Yeah, that's right. And as you're saying, the different influences that are in there. I mean, it's a cousin of Sega music from Mauritius, which is more hectic and energetic. Maloya is a little bit more laid back. But very much, yeah. I mean, it's got very deep roots. It was the slaves' music when, they were ruled by the colonials. You know, that was their release, was to practice Maloya ceremonies, and so that is the basis of it. But you know, obviously, the slaves came from very many different areas, and there are many different influences from the start there.
Well, I'm not letting you go quite yet, Quinton, but we've got more coming up from Pat Thomas. In a few minutes, we'll be talking Ghanaian high life together and hearing some of the music and singers that have helped shape the Pat Thomas sound. But first, here's more from New Orleans Hot 8 Brass Band, who kicked off the proceedings on the West Holt stage this afternoon. This is a Hot 8 Brass special on the specials, Ghost Town. We'll be right back. The ever hot, hot eight brass band from New Orleans. They were on the West Holt stage earlier today, and they were amazed at how enormous the audience was. People behind people behind people behind more people. I couldn't have said it better myself. Coming up in about 15 minutes, more from Pat Thomas, but with me still is Quinton Scott, whose label Strut has helped to, I mean, push may not be the right word, maybe entice Pat Thomas back into the limelight with their 2015 release, Pat Thomas and the Kwashibu Area Band. Quinton, we thought that we'd dig a bit deeper now into this kind of Ghanaian high life tradition and ask you with your collector hat on to pick out a few of the great Ghanaian singers from the past. Who have you got for us first?
So, yeah, I think we have Broadway Dance Band, who are really one of the great high life big bands from Ghana, established in 1958 and really through into the 60s they became, you know, huge, really. They were, you know, President Nkrumah used to take them on tour with him. They were kind of like the state band. And from them, you know, a huge amount of great Ghanaian musicians came out of that and then forged their own careers. So you had, you know, people like Joe Mensah, Mac Tonto, who was in Osibisa later, and the vocalist you hear on this track, Joss Akins, who is a master.
Joss Akins in particular, was a big influence on Pat Thomas. Right.
Yeah, I think he was his number one influence. I think he was just a very special vocalist. I think he was one of those guys that record companies turned to because he had that amazing emotive voice that he'd just nail on each recording. So, you know, when you had a one take studio session, you had Joss on vocals, you knew you were going to get a great result straight away and not be stuck in the studio for a day.
Yeah, we can't kind of underestimate the importance and the influence that the sort of government funding, the state sponsorship of music, you know, Nkrumah's, the authenticity, the identity, when so much a part of Africa was grabbing its own identity away from its, you know, previous colonial powers. So let's hear that track. This is Joss Akins with the Broadway Dance Band and a song called Wofo Nono.
Show your money.
Uhuru Dance Band and Yahya Abmou from their album The Sound of Africa that was released on Ogoro back in the 1970s and selected by my guest Quinton Scott of Strut Records, who's guiding us through some vintage Ghanaian high life before we bring you more from that Pat Thomas set recorded earlier on this evening. Quinton, between those two tracks, the Broadway Dance Band and Uhuru, we've kind of leapt a decade, haven't we? But actually, it was, you could call Uhuru Band a sort of Broadway Dance Band Mark II, couldn't you? Because I mean, a lot of these bands were morphing into each other as they sort of went as time passed.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Broadway, their lineup changed sort of during their existence up to 1965. I mean, Ebbo Taylor and Pat Thomas actually came into the Broadway setup sort of in the last. In that last part of their existence. But then there was there seemed to be a big dispute at one point. I think Zenith Hotel in Takoradi, where they were based on the south coast, claimed that they'd kind of backed the band and had them resident there. And they claimed the ownership of the name, and there was a falling out, and the band had to change their name, basically. And one of their members, Stan Plange, he carried on with the Uhuru Dance Band, basically, and then they had a whole new career. And that track you hear there, that was 10 years into their existence. They've been going for a while.
Well, and the singer you said there was Ed and Trey, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, Uhuru had different singers, throughout their existence, and you know, Ed was one who was another one that Pat mentions as a contemporary.
Yeah, so that, I mean, as you say, so that was a real kind of formative time. For Pat, so we've heard the music change from the kind of jazzy high life of the late 50s and the early 60s to the introduction of sort of American soul. I mean, more of a funk element to the music in the 70s. I think we've got just a bit of time to sample the sound of high life in the 80s. I mean, this is a really fast track, you know, 30 years in high life. Quinton, but tell us about Nana Tufour. I mean, what was his story? This is very much one of the voices of the 80s, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was quite smooth. He was a bit of a ladies' man. He was out of Kumasi, and he was the front man for a band called Waza Africo. For a little while, and he also went to Nigeria. I think he decided he wanted to start his solo career, and ended up as King Sunny Ade's keyboardist for quite a long time. And then after that, managed to get his solo career going, and he actually recorded 12 albums. So he was
very prolific.
Yeah,
actually.
Definitely. And he had a very smooth, soft voice. You know, it's quite a unique voice really for the time. He was very popular back home. I think he's not so well known outside, but you know, made some great records.
So so let's hear it now, the sound of the 80s, Ghana in the 80s, Nana Tufour.
Into your
We journey through time and Ghana, Nana Tofor, and a song called Owo Aye Maybe, and the soft sound that he brought to 1980s high life. Quinton, it has been great to have you here, and thank you for sharing with us your love of music and taking us through some of the past stars of Ghanaian high life.
Thank you so much, Duffo. It's been great. Really, really good.
It's been lovely. Well, we leave you to sort of wander out there into the darkness of Glastonbury Festival. This is World on 3 on BBC Radio 3. And so we return to that set from Pat Thomas, performing live on the West Holt stage here at Glastonbury 2017. This is Pat Thomas and Kwashibu Area Band, and it starts with a song called Jesu.
Yeah, bro. troubles. I'd like to thank you for all the nice hospitality that you've been giving us. Thank you. Now I gotta go. I'll leave you with Pashibu Area Band. Thank you.
Our fantastic stuff recorded on the West Holt stage here at Glastonbury 2017. Pat Thomas and Kwashibu Area Band bringing to the festival the glories of high life and Afrobeat. And this is World on 3 on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lopa Kotari. Now, making their Glastonbury debut this year was a Palestinian hip-hop group, Dam, one of the most influential exponents of the genre. They were the first band to popularise rapping in Arabic. They're over here to promote their four-track EP, Street Poetry. And what a place to do it, frankly, Glastonbury. So here is Dam and the title track from that EP, Street Poetry.
بالشارع مش مادة مونتاج باستوديو اجانب انا بفتح مباشر مش متعلق بل انا معلق بل انا محلل مش متفرغ بل انا مفرغ بل انا مفضفض مش محرر بل انا محرر بل انا منفذ انا ما بزيد مع ان انا
بوصل كلمة وكله بخاطي دين مميت عشان حزام دبل عشان لقمة عيش او اي عمل وعمل في فيفيت
شوفي
ما في انا بارع كل كلمة مثل هدف بالوقت الضائع انا في مهمة مهمة وصل كلمة والكلمة اتنشط لمة بقوة انا هو المتركب متحكم بلغن الشارع هنا الواقع وانا محرك متحرك عوى الصور مدقب كل جوال مدقب كل الزوال محقب كل القصص على كل حد انا من الحارات مبسط بسط بسط الحقيقة على كل حد انا من الحارات بصمة بصمة كبصمة الحريقة
انا من الحارة الحارة زلنا عالساحة الساحة تلقب بالشيب الشيبة ما معنى غير صراحة انا من الحارة الحارة زلنا عالساحة الساحة تلقب بالشيب الشيبة ما معنى غير صراحة انا من الحارة الحارة انا من الحارة الحارة انا من الحارة الحارة
Palestinian hip-hop group Dam and Street Poetry from their new EP. Time now, though, for another song from the Young'uns, Sean, David and Michael, the award-winning folk trio from Stockton, County Durham, last featured on World on Three in December as part of Catherine Tickell's New Year's pub shindig. So, how does Backstage at Glastonbury compare to the Bridge Hotel, Newcastle?
If we can hear, I don't know if listeners at home can hear this, but we can hear the music from the other stage. And I'm wondering, do you have to pay royalties? Because it technically is in the background, isn't it?
So, these are the key questions, Laura, that we need to address.
So you need to be singing over this.
Yeah, we need to be really loud so they don't have to pay the royalties.
Always answer the question. Yes.
I am answering the question. Thank you very much.
I think Glastonbury is more subdued than the Bridge Hotel on New Year's Eve.
There's no drunken Geordies.
It's wonderful to be with you. And it's only our second time at Glastonbury, and it's been an amazing experience so far.
Now, you guys sing and play instruments, but you're known for these three-part harmonies. You're pitch-perfect. A cappella. I mean, what is it that kind of attracts you to singing in this way?
Oh, thank you very much. I think it's just something very natural, isn't it? Something very raw, something very human about the unadorned, unaccompanied voice. And it's taken us 13 years to get to where we are. But when we first started, it was, you know, we were really raw. We were shouting half the time, but we believed so much in the words we were singing. And we were so inspired by the passion of local people in our area who were singing songs about where they came from in their own accent without the need for instrument, and that just completely blew our minds.
You've got a new album in the pipeline, Strangers, is that right? It's called Strangers?
Strangers.
We're really excited about it. It's coming out in September, and we've put a lot of effort into it, and on it you'll hopefully find songs inspired by incredible stories, true stories. And
are these all original songs, or are they traditional, or is it traditional?
Very nearly. There's one cover, and that's an exceptional song written by Maggie Holland called A Place Called England, which was written in the late 1990s, but it's still incredibly relevant today. But the other nine songs are our original songs, and it's a sort of half and half, really, of songs about historical figures who've inspired us, whose stories are still relevant today, but also stories about real people who've done amazing things and overcome great difficulties in the last few years.
Well, that is something that is very much at the core of your music, is this the telling of stories, using the sort of traditional form of British folk music and bringing into it the stories of today, the people that you're meeting. You're going to do a song for us now, aren't you guys? And I believe it's from your album that was just released as a single yesterday?
That's right. It's called Be The Man, and it's inspired by an amazing fella called Matt Ogston. And in 2015, Matt Ogston walked 130 miles from London to Birmingham, and he called it his journey to find acceptance. And he was recently bereaved. He'd lost his fiancée, the love of his life, who was called Naz. And the circumstances of his death were tragic and were all to do with the fact that his religious family couldn't accept his sexuality. So it was a heartbreaking story. But what Matt did was just inspirational. Not only that walk, but setting up a charity to campaign against religious homophobia. And the amazing thing is that we've very sort of, with great trepidation, sent him the song. And he absolutely loves it, and he's been sort of championing it for us. And so we dedicate it to him.
Lovely. Well, David, Sean, Michael, the young'uns, fantastic to meet you here at Glastonbury in the teepee. Let's hear it. Be the Man.
Matthew Hoxton is my name, and you'll not hear me mourn. I will never live in shame. I will not walk alone. For though my love took his own life because of bigotry, I'll be the man. Be the man, be the man I was born to be. I was born to be. And my love, he was warm and kind, and my love, he was strong. And when he brown eyes first met mine, I knew he was the one. And though I walk a silent road, he will walk with me. If I be the man, be the man, be the man I was born to be. I was born to be. There is a cross upon the hill, its arms are open wide. There's a star upon a windowsill that beckons me inside. But I'll walk beneath a crescent moon. I'll walk until they see that I'll be the man. Be the man, be the man I was born to be. I was born to be. Was born to be is a man who lives for love, kindness and charity, but most of all, love. And there's no God that I've heard of who could disagree. So I'll be the man, be the man, be the man I was born to be. I was born to be. Wherever love is called a sin and family are torn, wherever mums can't love their sons because of how they're born, wherever there are hands to hold, that's where I will be. And I'll be the man, be the man, be the man I was born to be. I was born to be the man, be the man, be the man.
singing for us live there, recorded in our BBC Music Teepee backstage at Glastonbury earlier this evening. That was the Young 'Uns, three voices creating a choir of sound, and Be the Man, a song from their forthcoming album, Strangers, due out in September. Well, it's gone a quarter to one. We're fast approaching the end of the programme. There's loads of Glastonbury coverage, as always, right across BBC Radio this weekend. Radio 1, 1 Extra, Radio 2, 6 Music, and you can catch up on all programmes online in all the usual ways. And look out for BBC Music's Glastonbury Rewind Day next Friday, an all-day streaming of presenters' favourites from across BBC Radio. More details on the BBC Glastonbury website. Caris Matthews will be here at Glastonbury for 6 Music on Sunday morning from 10 o'clock. Alongside the likes of Thundercat and Chris Christopherson, she'll be featuring world music from Songhai Blues, Toots and the Maytals, and these guys, the Rajasthan Heritage Brass Band. Here they are, Balam Choto So, My Little Husband.
If I jamu sangare, 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 if I jamu sangare,
One of the artists that's surely going to be one of the highlights of world music at Glastonbury and WOMAD this year, Umu Sangare, Mali's songbird, with her all-new sound. That's from Magoya, her latest release on the No Format label. She's playing at the Westholt stage here at Glastonbury on Sunday afternoon. And you'll also be able to hear her set at WOMAD during our weekend of programmes from the event at Charlton Park in Wiltshire at the end of next month. That's the 28th through to the 30th of July. And that is about it from World on 3, live from Glastonbury tonight. Thanks to my guests tonight, Quinton Scott, The Young'uns, and, of course, Martha Wainwright. We sign off with another rediscovered voice from Ghana's past, first brought to our attention by Awesome Tapes from Africa. This is Yao Atta Owusu, a self-taught Ghanaian musician who spent time in a reggae band in Dusseldorf and Toronto, and concocted his own blend of reggae, high life and hip-hop at a home studio in Ontario in the 1990s. He goes by the name of Atta Kak, and he played the Westholt stage this afternoon. From me, Lopa Katari, at Glastonbury for World on 3, a very good night.
Hello, I'm John Shea and welcome again to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. The Eben Quartet were Radio 3 New Generation artists a decade or so ago, and I'm starting today with some of the recordings they made for us then. Bartok and Schubert later, but first Mozart and one of the string quartets he dedicated to Haydn. As one private form of music making after another emerged from the domestic arena and became public, the string quartet was still caught between the two. But this one's been credited with a kind of concert hall grandeur that exceeds anything in this direction among its predecessors. Kirchhoff 465 in C major is known as Mozart's dissonance quartet because of the daring harmonies in the slow introduction.